emerge from the shotgun on first down, turns, hands it to Weisner, cuts up the middle, 40, 35, Trey still on his feet, outside, here goes Weisner, say goodnight to this one, Trey Weisner in the end zone for the touchdown. How's that to make up for a fumble, 43 yards on a big rumble.
That is the voice of the great Craig Way on 105.3 The Fan. He is joining us here right now. You can hear that game, Texas and Georgia, Saturday night on our sister station, 1080 KRLD. They have crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece coming up in about 20 minutes. Good morning, Craig. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Great to be on with you guys again.
The I know the Longhorns have played Mississippi State already and obviously Oklahoma. But this is different, right? Does this feel like, this is the real welcome to the conference kind of moment here with Georgia coming to town?
Yeah, I think so. And you know what adds to the mania and the excitement is the fact you got the F1 race down here as well. Ooh. So this town's cooking right now, and folks are pretty excited about it. But from a football perspective, yes. And understanding that Georgia definitely will be the best team they face this year. Carson Beck will be the best quarterback they face to this point. This year, and the Georgia defense will be the best defense they face this year. Although Oklahoma's defense is a good defense, the Longhorns just executed really well against it after the first quarter once they got warmed up and going. But this will be the best total team they have faced this season, without question.
Craig, you know, we got the return of Quinn Ewers against Oklahoma, and looked a little off at times. Do you think that was an issue of just a flat game or what Oklahoma was doing, or was that knocking off the rust? And if it was knocking off the rust, how important was it for him to get into that game against Oklahoma so that he'd be sharper and ready to play in this big game against Georgia?
Yeah, I think it was largely the rust factor a little bit. I mean, he did practice even the week right after he got injured, suffered the oblique, and in the walk up to Mississippi State, he did practice limited. The bye week, he practiced pretty much regularly. And then obviously the OU week, he practiced regularly. But they had to monitor the oblique. And his throwing was cut down a little bit during all of that time. So it wasn't like complete normal practice schedule for him. So I do think he was a little bit rusty on that. I asked Sark about that last night on the coach's show, and he was saying there were a couple of things, they had a couple of protection breakdowns early, and they had a couple of the Oklahoma showed him a couple of different reads early. So there was an adjustment phase, no question about it. Quinn, by his own admission, said so, told us in the post game, and then during the media availability this week, he said, yeah, I was glad I had teammates around me to help everything get shaken off and get me back on my game, which he did after that first quarter.
Craig, do games like this kind of scary a little bit? Like, Georgia's pretty desperate, right? They know they can't afford a second loss. I mean, Texas doesn't have a loss. And you don't want to say that you can lose a game, but in the 12-team playoff, I mean, a one-loss SEC team is still going to make it. Like, is this kind of a desperation spot for Georgia that should scare a Longhorn fan a little bit?
Well, I think what should give them pause is just knowing how good this team is coming in. There is that also with regard to the fact that they can ill afford to have another loss. And I'll tell you this, too. Think about this for a minute, fellas. This weekend between Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia, think those three, Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia, at least one is going to have two conference losses, and maybe two will have two conference losses if Texas wins. And that would have been probably unfathomable for folks to consider going into the start of the season that just passed the midway point, that Alabama or Tennessee, one of those two is definitely going to have two SEC losses, and maybe even Georgia. So it's a different kind of college football season, especially with the expanded 12-team playoff. But even within the boundaries of the SEC, it's a different kind of look.
Craig Way joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Craig, so if you're looking for a flaw for Texas, which Texas has been remarkably consistent and pretty even across the board, especially compared relatively to the rest of college football right now. Right now, I know Sark has honed in on the turnover margin's not acceptable, and they've had some issues with some turnovers. Is this a game where, hey, if you don't clean it up, you've had a few weeks, if you don't clean it up against Georgia, this is the week that it might burn you?
Yep, spot on. He has said, and what we normally say, it's almost kind of become a running joke between us when I ask him about what turns the game, what are the keys to the game, all of those kinds of phrases. And he'll always say the ball, because meaning taking care of it and taking it away a little bit. And you look at Georgia, Georgia's a minus one in the turnover. They haven't been getting takeaways. And so, you know, Carson Beck has had a good season to this point. It's not a spectacular Heisman-based season, but he's had a good season. But he's thrown five interceptions, and some have come on tip passes and things like that. Well, Georgia hasn't been able to even it up on the other side nearly as much or get more. That's why they're a minus one in the turnover. Well, the Longhorns are a plus four, which is respectable, but it's not national championship caliber. So, yes, getting and staying away from turnovers, I think, is the crucial thing in a game like this.
Craig, how big has it been for Texas just getting these two young contributors in Colin Simmons and Anthony Hill Jr., who – I'm going to be a little biased here as a Longhorns fan. I'm going to start the push for Anthony Hill Jr. for the Bednarik is what I'm going to do. Ooh. But when you look at what you've gotten out of Anthony Hill and what you've gotten out of Colin Simmons, just how big has it been to see those young players click and you know, find their spot so quickly?
Yeah, and Metroplex kids, right?
Hell, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely, with the Simmons from Duncanville and Hill from Denton Ryan. We've seen the steady progression of Anthony Hill from last year, where it was kind of more like Colin, which it was a lot of see ball, get ball. It was that kind of thing. And so there was a lot of, just learning it and trying to get, you know, trying to learn the position better. And he said that by his own admission too, that he needed to improve. Colin came in and kind of quietly went through the fall camp. We didn't hear his name discussed a lot, and then it just started with a, you know, being unleashed. And I called both of his state championship games the last 2 years for television and saw the beast that he was at the high school level. And I remember thinking, how long does it take for his game to translate and transition into the collegiate level at a high level? And we're just starting to see the edge of this now, the way he's going, and he's getting better every day. So that's, yeah, they've both been big additions, and the growth of Anthony Hill is a big part of it.
Talking with Craig Way here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Okay, Craig, so when one of the things we saw, not only just with the rust with Quinn Ewers, was when he was under pressure, that was a little bit of a problem. You know, when he was able to kind of comfortably stand back and read the defense and go through his progressions, everything was really solid. But the pressure was kind of rattling him a little bit the other day. Is that a big factor in this one for you, is just the idea of being able to protect Quinn Ewers with what is, you know, widely considered one of the better offensive lines in college football?
Well, it's always important. And, you know, even coming out of the Oklahoma game, I would still say the number one overall position strength of the Longhorns is the offensive front. They have played largely really, really solid. But early on, in the Oklahoma game, there were a couple of protection mistakes made, and it wasn't just with the offensive front. It was also backs picking up blitzers, and it was also receivers not being able to get off of the coverage at the line, things like that. That all adjusted. And I'll tell you another thing that helped adjust it, too. The running game, because Oklahoma was, you know, playing a lot of cloud coverage, and Oklahoma was laying way off of it for a while and dropping deep. And so Texas, which likes to go with 11 personnel, which likes to have a back and three wide outs and one tight end, and the tight end is important in Gunnar Helm, they started being able to run the football out of that formation a lot more. And Jaden Blue and Trey Wisner, you had the highlight from there from the DeSoto kid, and he had a touchdown there. That was a big part of it as well. And if they're able to run the ball like that, like they did after the first quarter against Oklahoma, they had a big second quarter running the football against the Sooners. If they're able to do those kinds of things, it's going to make the passing game better. And obviously it's going to make the offensive line much more effective against that Georgia front.
Craig, is this a Georgia front, though, that is like this? They're still the wall against the run. They're just a really solid run defense still.
Well, they're good. They're fourth in the SEC against the run. I think 43rd, front end of the middle of the pack, you might say, in the nation against the run. Pass defense is about the same, but their total defense and their scoring defense has been good. And I think the Longhorns are going to have to be patient. Patient with the run, and going to have to be patient with the offense, because I don't know that they're going to have a lot of big strikes like they've had against some other teams this year. In fact, I'm relatively certain that's not going to happen. So they may be able to get one or maybe two, but this isn't going to be a game like some of the other ones they've had where they've been able to just take deep shot after deep shot because it's there. Because a lot of times it won't be there, and they're just going to have to be patient with the offense to do it. I think they can move the ball on Georgia, especially with their offensive line, but it's going to require a little more patience than against most of the other opponents they've seen this year.
The voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Craig, last one for you here. We've mentioned it already here. In the new era of the CFP and the expanded CFP, going undefeated is not nearly as important as it once was. Being the number one ranked team in the country isn't nearly as important as it once was. But for Texas specifically, coming into the SEC and trying to establish their presence there, do you think it's important to people within this program as a top goal of, man, we really want to go undefeated and hold on to that number one the entire year?
I think there's some to that, but I think you make a great point that it's not as critical as it once was. I mean, the two things that really struck me about this college football season in this 12-team playoff debut season. One, that that we've never talked about G5 programs as much as we're talking about them now. I mean, how much conversation is everybody having about Army and Navy and Boise State and things like that? That's one. The other thing is that the AP poll just seems more inconsequential than it ever has been, because we know the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do their own thing, although they don't start until November. So, and we also know the way the rules are set up. If you win your conference championship in a Power Four league, you get a bye in the first round. That, I think, is the biggest directive for what Sark wants with this program. Yes, win the SEC and get that first round bye, whether you've got one loss or no losses. If you win the SEC, you're getting a first round bye for that playoff. So I think that's probably among those who are closest to the program the most important part.
Hey, Craig, real quick, we're up against it. When they get to the second round, so the first four teams with the bye, will they place them in bowl games? Are they preset, or are they going to be kind of closest to the higher seed?
Yeah, it's going to be based on what the other teams in the playoff and where the committee would say. So I would say if Texas gets a bye,
Sugar Bowl,
look for them to be either in Atlanta for the Peach or New Orleans for the Sugar, probably one of those two. And the math does suggest the possibility they could play in Atlanta three times in 5 weeks. If it was the SEC championship, the Peach Bowl, and if they make it all the way to the national championship, that is a possibility.
All right. Very good. It'd be we had to come up with a nickname for that. Like Kentucky calls it Catlanta. We're going to find a nickname for that one. Hey, Craig, thank you so much. Enjoy the call this weekend.
Thanks, fellas. Great to be on with you.
Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns here on 105. Let's crosstalk. KMC Masterpiece coming up next on 105.3 The Fan. After